Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name's Chris McElyea, your host today. I'm glad you joined me as we take a look at some of the things going on around us on our bulletin board this morning. And then we'll be spending time in God's Word this morning as we study through the Old Testament in 2017. And today we are going to begin the book of 1 Chronicles. We're going to be looking at the first 10 chapters this morning concerning genealogies and the death of Saul. But before we get to that this morning, we want to note some events that are going on. And one of those is coming up Saturday, and that is going to be a Ladies' Day, April the 29th, at the Colleyville Church of Christ in Colleyville, Texas. The theme is Hope, the Anchor for the Soul, and the speakers will be Aaron Sprouse and Denise Sorrells. The registration will begin at 8:30 a.m. And you can also visit the website for more information at colleyvillechurchofchrist.org. Also, beginning Sunday and running through the third next Wednesday, will be a gospel meeting in Mineola, Texas. And the theme is going to be spiritual maturity. The Mineola Church of Christ is located at 1621 North Pacific Street in Mineola, Texas. The speaker for this series of meetings will be Brother John Ratcliffe. Brother John is the evangelist for the church located in Prescott, Arkansas. He's been there for several years now, and he's a 2011 graduate of the Brown Trail School of Preaching. Many of you are familiar with John. His first work in this area was at the Alba, Texas congregation, and he grew up in the church in Emory, Texas. And so he is very familiar to many people around here. This will begin Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. in the Bible class with the topic of the bottom line. That's at 9:30 a.m. At 10:30 a.m. in the worship will be In Pursuit of Maturity. Sunday evening at 7 p.m., Measuring Maturity Part 1. Then Monday evening at 7 p.m., Measuring Maturity Part 2. Tuesday at 7 p.m., How Do You Measure Up? And finally, Wednesday at 7 p.m., with Spiritual Maturity. Also, another gospel meeting coming up around the corner is the East Mountain congregation located near Gilmer, Texas. And the speakers for this meeting is going to be the father and son team of Brother David and Benjamin McCain. The topic will be The Church Jesus Built. And that's going to be May 18th to the 21st. For more information, you can contact them at 903-399-5110. And that's what we have on our bulletin board this morning. If you're having an event coming up in your area, perhaps a gospel meeting or a lectureship, a singing, a speaker series. Many congregations will be beginning Wednesday lectureship series during the summer. If you have an event coming up of any type, let us know at office at tgrn.org, and we'll be happy to get the word out about your upcoming event. Okay, we're now going to turn to our Bible study for this morning, and that is the beginning now of the book of 1 Chronicles. We're going to look at the first 10 chapters this morning as we see some genealogies and the death of Saul. Now, by way of introduction to the two books of the Chronicles, 1 Chronicles along with 2 Chronicles provide us with a historical account of the history of the nation of Israel up to that point. Much of the information in 1 and 2 Chronicles is parallel accounts of information found in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. 1 and 2 Chronicles was intended to motivate the people by recalling their history as they were presently at that time returning from the Babylonian captivity, and before them lay the need to rebuild Jerusalem. Though not stated, it is likely that the book was written by either Ezra or Jeremiah, and the author, without doubt, was indeed the Holy Spirit. It is likely that the book was written sometime in the 5th century B.C. The last recorded event in 2 Chronicles was the decree of Cyrus, which occurred in 538 B.C. Today, we are going to review the time from the Garden of Eden to the death of King Saul here in the first 10 chapters. And so, when we look at chapter 1, we see the generations from Adam to the 12 tribes. Chapter 1 records these genealogies beginning with Adam and going through to the 12 tribes. Verses 1 through 4 give us the genealogy from Adam to Noah and his three sons. The history of man would come from Seth, the third son of Adam, according to verse 1. This lineage would include Enoch, a man who would not taste death, for he walked with God and God took him, according to verse 3. We also find in verse 3 Methuselah, the man that lived to the oldest recorded age in history, that of 969 years. In verse 4, we find that Noah was a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, an obedient man who, along with his wife, three sons, and daughters-in-law, were saved from the flood in the ark which Noah built. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the three sons of Noah, then would go forth after the flood and repopulate the earth, according to verse 4. Verses 5 through 26 of chapter 1 gives us the generations of Noah's sons. In verses 5 through 7, we see the sons of Japheth. In verses 8 through 16, the sons of Ham. In that section, we might note from verse 10 where we see Nimrod in this group. And it tells us that he would be a mighty one on the earth. Verses 7 through 16 give us the sons of Shem. Of note, we might notice in verse 19 that Eber begot two sons, Peleg and Joktan, and in their days the earth was divided. This would have been about the time of the confusion of the languages at the Tower of Babel, as we read of in Genesis chapter 11. In verse 26, we find Nahor. Nahor was the grandfather of Abram, and Terah was the father of Abraham. Then, verses 27 through 54 give us the generations from Abraham to the 12 tribes of Israel. In verses 27 and 28, we have the sons of Abraham. In verse 27, we see Abram, who was given the name Abraham by the Lord God. The sons of Abraham, in verse 28, were Isaac and Ishmael. Verses 29 through 31 then list the sons of Ishmael. 12 sons are listed to Ishmael. the son of Abraham by the handmaid Hagar. The sons of Abraham and Keturah are noted in verse 32. Six sons were born to Abraham by his concubine Keturah later in Abraham's life, after the death of Sarah. In verse 33, we see the sons of Midian. Five grandchildren of Abraham are listed here by his son Midian, who was born of the concubine Keturah. Verse 34, we see the sons of Isaac. Isaac, of course, was the son of promise given to Abraham and Sarah. And Isaac would become the father of the twins Esau and Jacob. Verses 35 through the end of the chapter give us the generations of Esau, the son of Isaac. Verses 35 through 42 list those descendants of Esau. These list the sons in those generations. And verses 43 through 54 give us a list of the kings of Edom. Kings would come to the land of Edom long before kings would reign over Israel. And listed here are those kings who would reign in Edom. And so chapter 1 gives us the generations from Adam up to the time of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Chapters 2 through 9 concern the generations of the 12 tribes. Chapter 2 begins with the 12 sons of Israel, or Jacob, in verses 1 and 2, that being Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Beginning in verse 3 through 55, we see the generations of Judah. We see in verses 3 through 15 the time from Judah to David. And I want us to notice a few of those here in verses 3 through 15 that we find in the royal lineage of Christ. As prophesied, the line of Judah would lead to the Christ. In verse 3, we see Ur, who was killed by the Lord for his wickedness. In verse 4, we see Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Judah, who bore him Perez and Zerah, as we studied previously in Genesis chapter 38. In verses 11 and 12, we find Boaz, who would marry Ruth. Verses 12 and 13, we find Obed and Jesse, the grandfather and father of King David. And in verse 15, we find David, who would be king and was the seventh son of Jesse. Verses 16 and 17 relate the sons of David's sisters. And then verse 18 through the end of the chapter, we read of the generations of Hezron, Caleb, and his son. And as we move into chapter 3, the first 24 verses of chapter 3, or real all of chapter 3, deal with the sons of David in the succession of kings. David reigned 7 years in Hebron, And to David was born 6 sons while he reigned in Hebron, before he reigned in Jerusalem. These 6 sons were Amnon by Ahinoam, Daniel by Abigail, Absalom by Maacah, Adonijah by Haggith, Shephatiah by Abital, and Ithream by Eglah. We would do well here to stop and pause for a moment to remember the problems that were continually caused by the polygamy that took place in the Old Testament. Now more would be born to David after he began to reign in Jerusalem. Recall now, those in the first 4 verses were those born to him in Hebron when he reigned only over the portion of the kingdom. But in the 33 years that he was in Jerusalem reigning over the United Kingdom, we see more would be born. In verse 5, we see that born were Shemaiah, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon. These were his children by Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. We see that in verse 5. In verses 6 through 9, we see even more sons listed to David. Solomon, mentioned in verse 5, the son of Bathsheba, would follow his father David to the throne of Israel. His lineage would be well known to the readers of the scriptures. His descendants, we read of Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joram, Ahaziah, Joash, Amaziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, and Josiah. And we can recall the stirring narratives of the lives of these individuals as we read and studied in the books of the Kings, as we note here in verses 10 through 14. Verses 15 and 16 give us the sons of Josiah, and the remainder of chapter 3 gives us the family of Jeconiah. And as we move now into chapter 4, we're given the generations of Judah, Asher, Chelub, and Shelah, and that is chapter 4, verses 1 through 23. We see the royal lineage extended, and perhaps we could follow it a little more clearly on through to King David from Matthew's account. I think it reads a little easier. Matthew chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. In chapter 4 here, we encounter in verses 9 and 10 Jabez, a man who was more honorable than his brothers. Jabez asked for God's blessing and guidance. God answered his prayer in the positive. And we would do well to remember that we also have the same promise. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, we read, Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And so we have the lineage of the house of Judah and his sons. Beginning now in chapter 4 and verse 24 through the end of the chapter, we have the generations of Simeon. And so here we encounter the family of Simeon. We might note from verse 27 that one of Simeon's descendants, Shimei, had 16 sons and 6 daughters. In verse 27, we also see that with the exception of Shimei, the family of Simeon was not as fruitful and reproductive as the tribe of Judah. Verse 40 points out that many of the descendants of Simeon were agricultural people. We read of the exploits of the descendants of Simeon in the days of King Hezekiah. In chapter 4, verses 41 through 43, it says, "These recorded by name came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and they attacked their tents and the Munites who were found there and utterly destroyed them, as it is to this day. So they dwelt in their place because there was pasture for their flocks there. Now some of them, 500 men of the sons of Simeon, went to Mount Seir, having as their captains Pelatiah, Neriah, Rephaiah, and Uziel, the sons of Ishi. And they defeated the rest of the Amalekites who had escaped. There they have dwelt to this day." Chapter 5 begins with the generations of Reuben. In verses 1 through 10, we recount the disposition of the birthright of the sons of Israel. Verse 1, "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, he was indeed the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, so that the genealogy is not listed according to the birthright. Yet Judah prevailed over his brothers, and from him came a ruler, although the birthright was Joseph's." The sons of Reuben are named in verses 3 through 10. In verses 11 through 17, we see the chief men of Gad and their dwelling places. And so the tribe of Gad is here listed. The tribes on the east side of the Jordan, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh are listed in verses 18 through 22, and also found here is a recap of their battles. Let's note that beginning in verse 18. "The sons of Reuben, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had 44,760 valiant men able to bear shield and sword, to shoot with the bow, and skillful in war, who went to war. They made war with the Hagrites, Jetur, Naphash, and Nodab, and they were helped against them, and the Hagrites were delivered into their hand, and all who were with them, for they cried out to God in the battle. He heeded their prayer because they put their trust in him. Then they took away their livestock, 50,000 of their camels, 250,000 of their sheep, and 2,000 of their donkeys, also 100,000 of their men, for many fell dead because the war was God's, and they dwelt in their place until the captivity. Notice that they put their trust in God, and God gave them victory. We are going to see the very opposite here in just a moment. In verses 23 through 26, we see the chief men of the half-tribe of Manasseh till the carrying away into Assyrian captivity by Tiglath-Pilneser. Let's pick up in verse 23. So the children of the half-tribe of Manasseh dwelt in the land. Their numbers increased from Bashan to Baal Hermon, that is, to Senir or Mount Hermon. These were the heads of their fathers' houses: Epher, Ishi, Eliel, Azriel, Jeremiah, Hodaviah, and Jadiel. They were mighty men of valor, famous men, and heads of their fathers' houses. And they were unfaithful to the God of their fathers, and played the harlot after the gods of the people of the land, whom God had destroyed before them. So the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, that is, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. He carried the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh into captivity. He took them to Halah, Habor, Hara, and the river of Gozan to this day. When the people were unfaithful to God, God would deliver them into the hands of their enemies. My friends, why do Christians today still make the same mistakes in being unfaithful to God? Notice 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. And now we move to chapter 6. And in this lengthy chapter, we find the generations of the tribe of Levi. We begin with the generations of Kohath till the Babylonian captivity. This would be found in the first 16 verses, in verse 18, and then verses 22 through 28. In verse 10, we see some highlights of the generations of Kohath were Azariah, who ministered in the temple during the reign of Solomon. In verse 15, we find Jehozadak was carried away at the time of the Babylonian captivity, as we witness the march of time here through the lineage of Kohath. Verses 1 and 16 remind us of the three sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Verse 17 and verses 20 and 21 give us the generations of Gershon, the son of Levi. It tells us that he begot Libni and Shimei, and his descendants are in verses 20 and 21. Verse 19 and verses 29 and 30 give us the generations of Merari. Merari had Mahli and Mushi. His descendants are listed in verses 29 and 30. Verses 31 through 48 tell us of the Levites that were appointed by David over the service of the tabernacle. These verses include the list of those appointed to minister with music for the tabernacle until Solomon completed the temple, which they then served in, as we see in verses 31 and 42. Verse 48 tells us that the Levites were appointed to all sorts of various work in the tabernacle. And then we come to the generations of Aaron the high priest, the brother of Moses. Let's pick up here now in chapter 6 and verse 49. But Aaron and his sons offered sacrifices on the altar of burnt offering and on the altar of incense for all the work of the most holy place, and to make atonement for Israel, according to all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. Now these are the sons of Aaron: Eleazar his son, Phinehas his son, Abishua his son, and Bukai his son, Uzziah his son, and Zerahiah his son, Merioth his son, Amariah his son, Ahitub his son, Zadok his son, and Ahimaaz his son. Aaron and his sons would minister in the most holy place of the Holy of Holies. They would make the atonements for the nation of Israel. Eleazar would succeed his father, Aaron, as the high priest. We notice the absence of Nadab and Abihu here, those two who died before the Lord for offering strange fire in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, for they are omitted from this list of his sons. Verses 54 through the end of the chapter tell us of the dwelling places of the Levites throughout the land of Israel. These list the cities of the Levites in each of the other tribes' inheritance. We recall the Levites were set apart by God and did not receive an inheritance of the land as the other tribes. And now we move into chapter 7. And chapter 7 begins with the sons of Issachar. We find that in verses 1 through 5. And we note that the descendants of Issachar included many men of valor. In fact, notice verse 2 here concerning Tola. The sons of Tola were Uzziah, Repaiah, Jeriel, Jamaiah, Jibsam, and Shemuel, heads of their father's houses. The sons of Tola were mighty men of valor in their generations. Their number in the days of David was 22,600. We see the generations of Benjamin recorded in verses 6 through 12, the generations of Naphtali in verse 13, and the generations of Manasseh here in chapter 7, verses 14 through 19. An interesting note here in the generations of Manasseh is Zelophehad. We read in verse 15 that Zelophehad had a number of daughters and yet no sons, and so they requested an inheritance for the daughters of Zelophehad. We read of that back in Joshua chapter 17. Let's go back there for a moment to Joshua 17, verses 3 and 4, concerning the daughters of Zelophehad. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but only daughters. And these are the names of his daughters: Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the ruler, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers." Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among their father's brothers. An interesting account there, as they received an inheritance. Verses 20 through 29 give us the details of the sons of Ephraim and their dwelling places. We note here we find Joshua in verse 27. Nun, his son, and Joshua, his son. Verses 30 through 40 to the end of the chapter give us the generations of Asher. And now we move into chapter 8. And in chapter 8, we see the generations of the tribe of Benjamin. Chapter 8 contains the genealogies of Benjamin. Some of the highlights here would have to include verse 33. Ner begot Kish. Kish begot Saul. And Saul begot Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. Of course, Saul would be the first king of Israel after the people rejected God as their leader and asked for a king in order to be like the heathen nations. Saul, the first king of Israel, would come from the tribe of Benjamin, as he was the son of Kish. We might also note verse 40 concerning the sons of Ulam. The sons of Ulam were mighty men of valor, archers. They had many sons and grandsons, 150 in all. These were all sons of Benjamin. And so now we move to chapter 9. And in chapter 9, we see that the records of Israel would be preserved. We pick up in verse 1. So all Israel was recorded by genealogies, and indeed they were inscribed in the book of the kings of Israel. But Judah was carried away captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. And so we note here in verse 1 the whole reason for the book of 1 Chronicles up to this point. The great importance of all of these genealogies and land records would be very obvious after 70 years of Babylonian captivity. It would be important to reestablish these things after the confusion and the passing of 70 years and the death of most of the people who were around 70 years previous. We know that there was not a large number of survivors remaining from the days before they were carried away into captivity. Verses 10 through 26 gives us records of the priest and the Levites. Information regarding the priest and the Levites are recorded here. In verse 13, those at Jerusalem were described as very able men for the work of the house of God. The Levite gatekeepers are recorded. These were important officers, and they had been appointed by David and the prophet Samuel, according to verse 22. And notice there the importance that was placed on the work of the gatekeepers. There was much trust and responsibility. Let's read beginning in verse 24. The gatekeepers were assigned to the four directions, the east, west, north, and south. And their brethren in their villages had to come with them from time to time for 7 days. For in this trusted office were four chief gatekeepers. They were Levites, and they had charge over their chambers and treasuries of the house of God. And they lodged all around the house of God because they had the responsibility, and they were in charge of opening it every morning. In verses 27 to 34, we see the charge to certain of the Levites. It gives us a continuing look at the important duties of the Levites in the nation of Israel. Picking up in verse 27, and they lodged all around the house of God because they had the responsibility and they were in charge of opening it every morning. Now some of them were in charge of the serving vessels, for they brought them in and took them out by count. Some of them were appointed over the furnishings and over all the implements of the sanctuary and over the fine flour and the wine and the oil and the incense and the spices. And some of the sons of the priests made the anointment of the spices. Mattathiah of the Levites, the firstborn of Shallum the Korahite, had the trusted office over the things that were baked in the pans. And some of their brethren of the sons of the Kohathites were in charge of preparing the showbread for every Sabbath. These are the singers, heads of the fathers' houses, houses of the Levites who lodged in the chambers and were free from other duties, for they were employed in that work day and night. These heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites were heads throughout their generations. They dwelt at Jerusalem. Then we see the generations of Jehiel. This would include the lineage of Saul and Jonathan in verses 35 through 44. We pick up here as we'll find the lineage of Saul once again, but in more detail. Verse 35. Jeiel, the father of Gibeon, whose wife's name was Maacah, dwelt at Gibeon. His firstborn son was Abdon, then Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zechariah, and Mikloth. And Mikloth begot Shimeon. They also dwelt alongside their relatives in Jerusalem with their brethren. Ner begot Kish. Kish begot Saul. And Saul begot Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. The sons of Jonathan were Merib-Baal, and Merib-Baal begot Micah. The sons of Micah were Pithon, Melech, Tariah, and Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Jerah. Jerah begot Alemeth, Asmaveth, and Zimri. And Zimri begot Moza. Moza begot Benaiah, Repahiah his son, Eliseah his son, and Azel his son. And Azel had 6 sons whose names were these: Azricam, Bakaru, Ishmael, Shariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel. And as we come to chapter 10 now, remember we are in First Chronicles, and this is a timeline basically of the history of Israel. And now we come to the recording again of the death of Saul, the first king of Israel, here in chapter 10. So it begins now as the Holy Spirit now turns our attention away from genealogies and land records to the narrative of the tragic end and death of Saul and his sons. Chapter 10 now in verse 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. We find the Philistines winning the battle against Saul, and in the process they kill his sons Abinadab, Malchishua, and even the beloved Jonathan. Verse 2, then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's sons. Soon we find that Saul would be wounded severely by the Philistine archers. Verse 3, the battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was wounded by the archers. The tragic and the sad story of King Saul comes to an end as the wounded Saul prepares to take his own life. First, we see in verse 4, then Saul, after being wounded, said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and abuse me. But his armor-bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. And thus begins the tragic account of the death of Saul. Verse 5, and when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died. So Saul and his three sons died, and all his house died together. And when all the men of Israel who were in the valley saw that they had fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook their cities and fled. Then the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So it happened the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. And they stripped him and took his head and his armor, and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news in the temple of their idols and among the people. Then they put his armor in the temple of their gods, and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. And when all Jabesh-Gilead heard all that the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and took the body of Saul and the body of his sons, and they brought them to Jabesh and buried their bones under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. King Saul had been slain by the Philistines, but the truth is that King Saul died because of his sin and his rebellion against God. Verse 13, so Saul died for his unfaithfulness which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. What a tragic story that did not have to happen. When we think of Saul, we close today with a remembrance of Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Like Saul, our sin has earned us a sentence of death. But praise be to God for the gift of God, that gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, to all those who believe and obey His word. Praise be to God that the answer for our sin problem has been extended to man through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I thank you for joining me this morning. Encourage you to stay tuned through the rest of the day for all of the programming here on the Gospel Radio Network. Be sure and tune in again tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for another edition of Mornings for the Master with Chris Grota and J.J. Hendricks. And if the Lord wills, I'll see you again next Thursday at this same time, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network.